This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
NFL news of the day. It does appear T. Higgins is going to get the franchise tag. That's according to at least one insider right now. Bengals planning to franchise tag T. Higgins. Now, does that mean he ends up playing on the tag, or are they just opening up the possibility to potentially then trade him, or they can still try and get a new deal done? That's per James Rapien, who covers the Bengals there in Cincinnati. Bengals Talk Sports Illustrated also covers the Reds. Looks like he's all things Cincinnati sports, but it appears like the Bengals might be looking to tag T. Higgins. Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, and you. Plus, we got Lucius Alexander, of course, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Gavin Dawson rejoining us tomorrow. Hopefully, his team crushed it and did well in their tournament over the weekend in San Diego. But that's a developing story. We'll keep tabs on T. Higgins. He clearly could end up being in the division. I think Washington makes a lot of sense if T. Higgins goes on the move. But, gentlemen, I did see this. Franchise tag candidates. And for the Cowboys, like if T. Higgins is going to get tagged by the Bengals, the one guy that was listed as maybe a tag candidate for the Cowboys would be Osa Odighizuwa. Okay, he's the only candidate the Cowboys would consider. His cost is projected to be a little bit more than $23 million against the cap. That's pretty pricey. That does not mean the Cowboys won't make a bid to try and re-sign him before free agency begins. But now you've got Matt Eberflus and that under tackle position. Osa's position is vital. Posted career highs in sacks and pressures last season. That's the type of player Eberflus and the Cowboys defense would like to keep around. A third round draft pick who was an immediate starter is an over the top worker, excellent locker room guy. Look, off the, he sounds like intangibly he's absolutely one of the guys that you want to keep around. I just don't think for that cost you're able to get the tag. You're either going to do a long term deal or Osa Odighizuwa is going to go ahead and break the bank somewhere else. North of $23 million to tag him for a year. I love the idea. I'd love to keep him here for at least a year, but I think that's just going to be too rich for the Dallas Cowboys to be playing in those waters.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a heavy cap hit. You can't divide that up. If you want to give him a bigger contract, he still makes the $20 million or whatever per year, but you can divide that up and stretch that out over some years so the cap hit isn't just insane. But the numbers on the defensive tackles are so high now. These dudes are getting, they're getting all the wood.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting here is, and Zach, I know you and I would likely not agree on this, but I wonder if they're looking at this guy in a different way. And I wonder if they would consider Walter Nolan from Mississippi at 12 to be that replacement for Osa Odighizuwa.
Yeah, I think that Walter Nolan's a name that, and we've talked about this on Love of the Star as well. I think in that room, I know that there's at least a few scouts that love him.
They don't care what you and I think. You know, we just talk about, you know, they're going to do what they want to do. But it wouldn't surprise me.
No. And if it's not Walter Nolan, there's some other defensive tackles you can look at.
And I would absolutely, and this is where if you got down to, say, like in the third round, and maybe you might have to go a little bit earlier on this one, but I really do like Darius Alexander from Toledo as a three technique. I really do like Omar Norman Lott. That's a hyphenated name from Tennessee
yeah.
as a guy. I kind of like TJ Sanders from South Carolina.
I like TJ Sanders.
I think there's going to be a three technique there that doesn't make you have to spend $20-something million for a player.
Yeah, and I don't mind the idea of double dipping in this year's draft at defensive tackle.
Well,
maybe you take two of these guys.
At the one and the three.
Yeah, or
I know in the mock draft we took
Alexander and we took I think it was Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State.
We did.
Like, I love Alfred Collins out of Texas. Now that's a dude that's a one, but I think he gives you pass rush ability. Like, you've got some guys in this class, like, you could go ahead and just say, hey, they're a one, but to me they've got some three tech traits to their game.
Mm-hmm.
Like Deion Walker's a guy, clearly a one, but he can push the pocket for you.
See,
he can rush the passer.
See, the thing about Walker, he scares me.
He's just humongous. So leverage is never going to be easy for him.
He plays so tall
yeah.
the way he is.
He's 6'8".
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I have a real, real problem with him because, like I said, it kind of comes and goes with mm-hmm. him. There's not really there's not really that consistency.
Which is what annoys me with Nolan. Because Nolan's a guy that lacks the consistency.
Nolan should be on everybody's radar. The problem is, you're absolutely right. He plays great, and then there's four or five plays but Ole Miss has a rotating system.
They do.
If you watch their defensive line, the way they play, it's like their guys are on for one play, off for three. On for two plays, off for five, you know.
Yeah, because they had a ton of really good linemen there. I mean, J.J. Pegues is another guy day right. three early that sure. you could probably look at and maybe be able to snag.
Umanellen?
Princely. I just call him Princely.
Umanellen.
He's got a tough last name, but Princely as an edge rusher, simply outstanding. South Carolina was another one of those watches.
Same. It just
in and out.
Rotate. Tennessee was the same way.
Yep.
You know,
Studly defensive lines.
Yeah.
Okay, looks like the Packers are set to move on from all-pro corner Jaire Alexander. He has missed at least 10 games in three of his last four seasons. And because of that, as a free agent, like, maybe he ends up being affordable. I love him. He's a fantastic player, but availability is a massive concern with Jaire Alexander. So I can understand the Packers. Was that a just rip?
I'm sorry? No.
I heard a little noisy.
Oh, no, I was just putting my jar of water down.
Thought maybe that was gas.
I watch you drink that water out of that jar, and I kind of feel like I'm working with a guy drinking moonshine the whole day.
If he is, you know what? Whatever he needs to perform.
No, it's all good, man.
When I saw you crushing the alcohol ice cream, I thought,
why the hell not?
Why not dip into the Rodeo Ron?
No, yeah.
Moonshine.
No, you missed Rodeo Ron on Friday, by the way. He's kind of like sober now.
Really?
Yeah, he's kind of
But our guy Big Jim really shut it down.
I heard Big Jim went on just another dominant run.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Jim, and he was sick, and you could tell. You know, I think he was mixing, you know, medication and booze, and when that starts to happen.
It was his own flu,
Big
MJ
Jim
flu game.
Is just a hell of a man. You never know what he's going to end up saying. Another guy that you don't know what he's going to say is Bill Cowher. Now, Bill used to be a little bit more aggressive back when he was younger. Now, Bill's kind of... You know, he's trying to
save his job.
He's not a hot take guy, okay? But he is not a fan of the tush push. In fact, he was on with Dan Patrick, and he's like, you know, talking to him, what's going on? Do you like the tush push? Do you not like the tush push? Here was Hall of Famer Bill Cowher on the tush push.
I'm not. It's not a football play. It's rugby. You know, they call it a scrum. I mean, that's what it is, Dan. Let's call it the way it is. It's a scrum. I mean, you're pushing people and pushing them over. I mean, listen, if it's just a quarterback sneak, I get it. But it becomes like a pushing in the back, and it's a scrum. And I don't know. It's not a strategical play, in my opinion. So,
okay, how do you get rid of it, though? If I don't allow somebody to push the quarterback from behind, would you be okay with that? That's just a quarterback sneak.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm fine with that. I think, but when you start pushing and putting a guy in the middle, and I think there's going to be – I think there's a safety element to this at some point. I would have to think, because when you have 600 pounds pushing on one person who's trying to stay in there to 300 pounds, that just seems like it's a safety issue. But if you can't, when did we start allowing pushing the guy forward? And I like, you know, these late flags, all of a sudden we're pushing a guy 8 to 10 yards. That was never the case before. You stop the play. I mean, the play's over. When the guy gets stopped, he's stopped. The game of football is more strategic. It's, you know, that's rugby. I love nothing against rugby, but if you want to get a scrum, you want to see a scrum, go to a rugby match.
Love it, nothing against it, but don't put rugby in my football, says Bill Cowher. Get this damn tush-push out of here. All right, there's nothing to it. Think of something else. You want a quarterback, sneak it, Get this tush-push scrum out.
I think Landon Dickerson said that he calls the play just pain. Because he knows as the center, like, it's just a painful play.
I know Jalen Hurts, we played that audio, he doesn't like the tush-push name.
But don't you, I mean, there's just, you end up getting in some weird gray areas where, like, how about the times when a running back is you know, doing his thing, but he's got a bunch of guys on him, and then the offensive line gets behind starts, like, shoving him past the first down marker or into the goal line or just for an extra 5 or 6 yards. You see that relatively regularly. Like, okay, is that you just blow that thing dead, or is that allowed?
I think Cowher's saying that they would blow that dead back in the day. But I'm with him. Get the tush push the hell out of here. Get it out. I'm fine with that. Change it up. Get the whatever's going to hurt the Eagles, hurt the Eagles.
If it was,
look, if everyone could do it, everyone would.
I'm going to ask you this question, though. If you're the team, if it's your team that's doing it and doing it at about a 98% clip, You're totally not saying get rid of it, are you?
And of course not.
The Cowboys should be a team, you would think, with a guy like as big as strong as Dak Prescott who'd be able to do the tush push.
Sure.
We just haven't seen them do it much. But then again, you'd also assume the Bills and Josh Allen would be able to tush push their way to a Super Bowl. If they could have, they'd have been playing the Eagles. But they couldn't. They weren't. They weren't able to do it. So there is something to, like, the Eagles have perfected it.
I just don't have as much of an issue with it when it's like the QB sneak.
I don't either.
Like,
I don't either.
A QB sneak is virtually the same thing. Maybe it's not as successful. It's not as dominant. But in terms of rugby, scrum, whatever, that's what a quarterback sneak is. Yep. So I don't know. I'm in favor of, hey, dude, they found something that works for them. Anybody else could try and duplicate it if it doesn't work for you.
And it hasn't worked.
And who's
well.
To say it'll keep working for the Eagles when, you know, if they don't have Jalen Hurts anymore? Like, it probably won't. But
it works in Jalen Hurts because we've seen him, like, in the weight room. You know, guy's got incredible lower body strength.
Yeah, but
like a 300-pounder.
I get what the 6'8" is. Like, a sneak's not quite the same. You shouldn't be able to push the ball carrier from behind.
There used to
like
be a
that.
Rule where they used to not be able to carry or push the running
well,
back.
Well, the Bush push. Remember USC Notre Dame? Yeah. There was a rule then.
Yeah.
And that's why people were so up in arms about it. Like, Reggie Bush shouldn't have been able to push Matt Leinart into the end zone. Notre Dame should have won that game. USC should have been flagged. But so from that aspect of it, I could understand it. Like, if they got rid of it, I wouldn't care at all. It wouldn't bother me whatsoever. And if it hurts the Eagles, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't overly care either just because, yes, this is one team. I do like the idea of the Eagles just leaning into it and just being like, okay, I'm going to start doing this on first down.
First and 10. Second down and 7.
It's going to be immediately second
Third
and 6.
Third down and 4. Let's go.
It's our whole offense.
Oh, no, they're just going to matriculate the ball down the field here, boys.
Heck, they get into 4th and 2 and you have to think about it.
Yeah.
The way that they get the surge. Yeah, absolutely. I can say, if it was our team doing it, we'd be cool with it. We'd be telling Bill Cowher to shut the F up.
Yeah, shut up, Bill. Okay, if we're getting first downs, I don't. But it's not. It's not our team doing it. It's our hated rival. So anyway, we can limit them. I'm cool with it. But I'm, you know, if they keep it in the game, they keep it in the game. If they get rid of it, I'm fine with that. The player safety aspect of it is interesting. You would think those linemen would hate it. I mean, Chris Jones is getting stretched out. His neck looked like he was injured after the first one. Maybe there is something to that, but I think you might need to do a little deep dive and figure out if that is the case.
The trade-off is they don't do kickoffs anymore. That's what.
And we switch them out.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we get more returns last year with the new rules.
More returns, less concussions, so we get concussions on tush-push.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, Bullygate, you guys remember this whole deal. I know, Eric, you do, when it came to former Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin. He had a short-lived NFL career, and there was the bullying scandal after he was a second-round pick in 2012. He played just 7 games in 2013 before seeking medical help for emotional distress. And reports then started circling that Martin was the victim of persistent bullying and teasing by fellow blockers Richie Incognito and Mike Pouncey, along with John Jerry. Then the NFL intervened. Ted Wells investigated, and Incognito received an indefinite team suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. The club also then fired its offensive line coach. The report showed that Incognito used derogatory and racial remarks towards Martin, but in recent interviews, Martin said, quote, "I hadn't even told my coaches, hadn't told anyone. Suddenly it's on ESPN, right? I never believed for a second I was being bullied. It's a story that I've been trying to fix for 10 years. Martin said, I was not well. He was then arrested in 2018 for tagging Incognito and other alleged Dolphin bullies in a social media post displaying a shotgun and ammunition. He said, quote, I needed some sort of break from football, but I didn't need to be this tit for tat on TMZ. I should have sat down with the owner and head coach of the Dolphins and figured it out. Despite his personal regrets, Martin also sought to frame himself as an alpha in new interviews. I don't have any hard feelings toward anybody from that situation anymore because Richie and Mike already peaked. They've already achieved the most success they're going to achieve in their life, and I'm just getting started. Richie Young Incognito did not take well to this. He said, quote, he couldn't cut it in the NFL. Legacy media pushed this narrative long and far. Too bad it was all a lie. They lied to protect his money. He quit, and the team had every right to claw back that money. His mom started the bullying narrative with ESPN so the Dolphins wouldn't go after his signing bonus. So you've got Martin, who is admitting this was all a lie, and guys like Richie Incognito lost their job. The offensive line coach loses his job.
Well, that was for the white powdery substance on his desk.
How high we get together? Oh, that was DeForester?
Chris DeForester.
But it is a shame to look back on this. And that quote from Martin, like, I saw it on ESPN, and I've been trying to clear this up for 10 years now.
You haven't really.
If you really wanted to, I feel like a press conference or some type of meeting, like you could call ESPN and set up a one-on-one. You could easily have cleared this up until from 2013 to 2025, and now this is recirculating.
And you said in 2018 he's on social media taking photos of himself with a gun and tagging these guys. Yes. So he was clearly still feeling like even in 2018 that they were in the wrong. And so it's been a recent change of heart here from his perspective. Clearly his parents took all this and ran with it. It sounds like they're the ones that initially took it to ESPN and Schefter, and that's what really got it blown up. But this was a monster story.
Huge
that
story.
Transcended sports, and it was all over the news channels and everything. But, I mean, when you scroll down on the ESPN article, you do get the reminder and some of the quotes from the voicemail that they had from Richie Incognito to Jonathan Martin, and they were pretty heavy-handed.
They were.
Now, locker room, whatever crazy crap gets said, but the voicemail that was transcribed where he's calling him half N-word, piece of S, I'll S in your bleeping mouth. Ooh. I'm going to slap your bleeping mouth. I'm going to slap your real mother across the face. Bleep you, you're still a rookie, I'll kill you. So that's part of the voicemail and the evidence involved in this. So I don't know that Richie can completely say, hey,
I didn't
this
do anything
was all
wrong here.
Funsies and gamesies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's certainly a story.
And Richie didn't help himself a couple of years later where he's throwing dumbbells at civilians in a gym, a local public gym.
You could tell Richie was a little bit of a crazy person, 100%. But certainly his reputation took a big hit with this. So it's wild that this is now coming back full circle now. I mean, we're talking over 10 years later. Aaron Rodgers was pleading with the Jets to keep him for this next coming season. Then Rodgers just realized, okay, I'm not going to stay with the Jets. So since then, he has slipped into the darkness for a few days, was the quote that I read. So congratulations to Aaron. The good thing is it seems like Devontae Adams might get cut as well. So maybe they can reunite wherever their next step is together. They can decide together we're a package deal, Rodgers and Adams.
Dude, some XFL team is going to just be throwing a party.
Just be pumped.
This is going to be awesome for the USFL.
They're going to be wearing that black and yellow together in Pittsburgh.
You're putting in the call right now?
I think so. I think I'm going to put in the call.
Aaron Rodgers, collision course, Mike Tomlin.
And Devontae Adams. I mean, they want a wide receiver. Maybe Rodgers is an upgrade. Maybe he's not an upgrade, but they need a quarterback. I don't know that the Stafford thing's going to work out. So we'll have more NFL news coming up for you later on in the show. But up next, let's talk with Zig Fercassi. We're zigging while you're zagging. Sirius Sports next in the Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this is a very exciting time. This is one of Broadus's good buddies. They're doing a little home and home situation. Broadus hops on a little serious from time to time. All of a sudden now, we here in the nation get to welcome in Zig Fricassi from Sirius Sports right here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Segment here in the nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by The Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call The Frankels first. 214-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Krusty's Corner coming up here in a few minutes. Brought us, how fired up are you right now? It's your boy.
I tell you what, I'm really fired up. We got him on air.
He's ready. Zig, you with us.
Zig, what's
hey
up,
guys,
brother?
What's going on?
Not much. I don't know whether to start with you on Dallas Cowboys or Dallas Stars. I don't know which one. Which one do you feel comfortable with today?
Dallas. We'll middle it. How about that?
Middle
Either
it.
One's great.
Okay.
Either one's great.
Okay. Well, let me. Okay. I know, like I say, you do such great work for the NFL, you know, channel there at Sirius, but I wonder what, you know, the impressions that you have of, because we've talked a lot about things going on with Jerry and Steven, the way they're going to handle free agency, the way they handle the draft. You know, I've been on your show plenty of times and kind of talked about it. I was interested in what your thoughts are about the Dallas Cowboys and maybe the direction that they're going to go.
Well, Broad, first of all, you're always a tremendous guest. You're one of our favorites here, and that's why we come to you for all your knowledge and everything that you bring to the table. And again, I professed to be for many years a Cowboys fan, having grown up, watched them actually in all places near Buffalo, New York, but they were on the TV more than the Bills were when in the 70s. So I've followed this team for an awful long time. But I just get the sense, and again, you're closer to it than I am, but I just get the idea now that there's almost some form of like an entitled complacency in that organization. What I mean is, you know, Jerry's up there in the years. Let's face it, that franchise is worth $10 billion. There's still that big fan base there, living off the memories. I hate to say it, although there have been some good years recently, the 12-win seasons, but still I didn't think they were a legitimate Super Bowl team because they didn't beat the teams they should. So having said all of that, you know, you wonder, and with their Legends Enterprise, I do wonder, you know, how serious really are they? You know, he said last year they were all in. Now, if that meant being all in being bad, they certainly achieved that goal.
Sure.
So are they going to actually spend some money? You know, they waited to overpay Dak. I hated the way that that went down. I know you have to pay, but not that much. So I just think when it's all said and done, I don't know if they're going to be heavy players. I doubt it in free agency. Will McClay, who's done a good job with the draft, they're probably going to have to do that, draft more and maybe get a couple of free agents at the lower rung, so to speak. But if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm just wondering, does your management really care about putting out a quality product anymore? I have my doubts.
Yeah, Zig, I agree with you 100% there. I think a lot of us are wondering that same thing. I know I've gone on a rant about that as well, but I do want to pick your brain on a team that has a chance at winning, and that is the Dallas Stars.
Oh, here we go.
Right, enough about the Dallas Cowboys, Zig. Let's talk about a team in Dallas that's actually got some championship aspirations. The Stars Finns group just almost was able to rally against Canada earlier, but what do you think about the Dallas Stars' chance to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup? I think they're probably still a trade away before the deadline to add another defenseman, but where do you think the Stars are at now as they've broken for the Four Nations tournament?
I think they're in good shape. Now, you're not going to win that division because I think Winnipeg is just too strong this year. But, again, you don't need to win your division to have success in the playoffs. I'm with you. I think the Stars probably need to add a little more depth. You always like to have depth, probably more scoring preferably going down the stretch here. Duchesne's been terrific. He's been the leading scorer. He was a guy, guys, that I had doubts about because he was a third overall pick, kind of, bounced around team to team, never really found his footing. But now in Dallas, where he doesn't have to be the man, he's blossomed, I think, big time. Robertson's come around a little bit. Still a big fan of Johnston, who I thought had a little bit of a slow start this year. Unfortunately, guys, watching this Four Nations, Roope Hintz has been kind of noticed in a bad way. He was a -2 early on in this game, had a horrendous giveaway to McDavid that led to Canada's first goal there in terms of today's action. The fact that Harley was called up to make Team Canada because of Makar's illness the other day, that says a lot about his future. So I think, they are positioned well to make a run. Again, I would look for maybe a little bit of forward depth. A guy that comes to mind for me, Charlie Coyle from the Boston Bruins. He can play wing. He can be a center, be a very good third-line player, maybe even second if you pushed him in. So I think that's where Dallas might go before the trade deadline. But I think the Stars are a legit team out west, although it's a battle royal, guys, because it is just so stacked out that Western Conference.
It really is. It's a gauntlet. I mean, I think Stars fans, we were getting a taste of that going through Vegas last year. Then you got Colorado, and then it's Edmonton. I mean, just to get to the Cup final, you're taking on former Stanley Cup champs. It's brutal. What do you think of Saturday night, USA and Canada, and what are your expectations now as we're going to have the rematch Thursday night with Canada defeating Finland earlier?
I don't know. We may have to get a boxing ring set up at TD Garden before the action there. That was some really intense action going there in Montreal. I supposedly the Tkachuk brothers, easy for me to say, the Tkachuk brothers and JT Miller, I guess, had a group thread going like, all right, let's spice this thing up Saturday night and let's start brawling. And for those that hate fighting, hey, listen, there was an era when fighting was definitely appreciated in the National Hockey League.
Broad Street Bullies were good at it, I know that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bro, there's no question. But then, I think there was this effort to try to get away from the game, and Lord knows we've seen some of the fighters who unfortunately have gone into health issues and even passed away from some of those issues that have come up, maybe because they fought too much, but I digress there. But the point is, I think Canada is going to be much better on Thursday night. Cale Makar is back in their lineup, and he played okay today. So he's got a couple more days to rest. He, guys, is, and I don't use this comparison too lightly, but he's in some ways the right shot version of a Bobby Orr. Now, Bobby Orr, to me, is the greatest defenseman of all time and maybe the greatest player in NHL history. He basically revolutionized the defense position by putting the offensive force into the game. He had six straight 100-point seasons, basically did it on one knee and revolutionized that. And Cale Makar is that kind of player that can impact the game. If he's on his game, I think Team USA is going to have some issues. Now, they do have the home ice advantage and, you know, the fact they'll have some sentiment going there. It wouldn't shock me, guys. This game goes to overtime, and hopefully the good guys from Team USA pull it out. But I expect it to be another slugfest, this time in Boston on Thursday night.
Zig is, you know, and I opened the show when we were doing crosstalk that I was thinking, I understand Boston is a hockey town. If you could have this, if you could have this game, do you want this game in Boston for the atmosphere, or is there another NHL city in the United States that you would put this game in to maybe give it a little bit more flair to it?
Ooh, that is a great question, Broad. Wow.
With Detroit, Chicago, I mean.
Yeah. Well, that's fair because, you know, those fans in Chicago are – They've always been Blackhawks fans and everything. Sure. Detroit, certainly, you know, with the storied franchise of the Red Wings. But you maybe can make an argument for New York, but I think Boston is probably the right place. That's why they chose Montreal and Boston to host this thing. Because you got to remember, you know, the Bruins have been a perennial contender for an awful long time. The second team in NHL history to win 3,000 regular season games. They go back a century. So there's the history there. And then you got to remember, too, you know, some of these players on these rosters have played at Northeastern or Boston University, Boston College. So there's more of an emotional tie-in to me. So I think Boston would be the perfect venue, obviously, to host this. Now, in 2028, you're going to have the return of the World Cup, which I went to in Toronto in 2016, and that was just some fabulous hockey. So I'd be curious if maybe Dallas puts in a bid for this. If they had this in Vegas, I think it would be outstanding. So I'm not sure it's going to go overseas per se. I'm not sure the NHL would, you know, shut the season down, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks and then play over in Finland or Sweden. They may bid for it, but I would think it stays in North America. So, yeah, Boston, to answer your question, Broad, Boston, I think, is probably a perfect host for this four nations.
Now, Zig, this has been a real treat for us, man. Thanks so much for tolerating our guy, Broadus, for all the years.
I actually had the chance to meet Brian for the first time at the Super Bowl. I didn't realize how the hell big you were, Sprod. Telling you. You were a lineman in your day, I could tell. But
a long snapper.
Yeah, hey, that's all right. The way he was built, he could long snap me out of there. But he's one of the best. You are, too. I appreciate you guys having me on today.
Thank you, man. Zig.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Zig. There you go. Zig Fracassi, Sirius Sports. Broad is his good buddy. How many people in your life call you Broad?
Zig is the one. It's funny when I'm always on the show and he always Broad. It's and he'll say his name and then whoever he's hosting.
What do you think, Broad?
Yeah. So it's kind of, I guess it's kind of an Eastern thing.
I like that, dude. Yeah.
But no, I got to meet Zig. Like I say, I've gone on Sirius Satellite Radio a bunch. So that's kind of fun. But I ran into him at the Senior Bowl, and he's like, you ever want to talk hockey? He is a Dallas Cowboys fan. He will text me during games like, what the F is going on here? You know, and
he might be jumping off the bandwagon here soon by the sound of it.
Yeah,
he's a Buffalo guy, but he loves him some Dallas Cowboys. But he also knows his hockey. He does a lot of work for Sirius. And so it's always nice to get his perspective on that.
Yeah, that was great stuff. All right, C-Note coming up at 4 o'clock, but coming up next, time for Krusty's Corner.
Yeah, let's do some draft talk. Me and Wolchuk are going to try and figure some things out again. We'll do that next.
There is something really exciting when you hear a player name. It's like, okay, let me go check him out, and then now you start watching.
Oh, I'm about to talk about this kid.
And it's like, oh, holy crap, actually. I can totally see where the hype is with certain kids as I'm just watching a player that Broadus is about to talk to us about that a lot of people have been hitting me up on Twitter like, hey, you need to watch this kid. You need to watch this kid. Yeah. He's been on the list. I've been making my way down from some other guys that I've had recommended.
Yeah.
This might be a find here as we have Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Of course, we'll dock some Cowboys coming up on the other side. We got the top 10 as well. LA Live at 5:40. We got Jared Sandler at 6 o'clock. But time for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, Broadus.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Wooly Bully. Yeah, by the way, too, thanks to all the folks, again, that came out for Love of the Star on Saturday at Hurtado. Thanks for Hurtado for being such great hosts. They did a heck of a job, and best of luck to that crew, man. They're a bunch of great people over there. All right, real quick, Eric, I have a question, and I'll let you answer this real quick if you would.
Hit me, dude.
What's the oldest you can be to wear joggers?
I did. I noticed your attire
today. I saw him
today,
too.
Okay, did you? You didn't say anything? You just thought?
I thought just now, like when he was walking back in from the kitchen, are you rocking joggers today? Are you trying to go full Mike McDaniel?
I was about to say, it came right out of McDaniel's closet. They look good. It was a little jarring. I'm used to seeing you in your
khaki
in your khakis.
Was this Bennett that dressed you today?
No, it wasn't. It was just, I was just out and about, and like Under Armour had a bunch of them. You know, okay. I was at a store, and they were like, oh, they're on sale. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, they had my size. But I just wondered, is there a certain age, and Lucius, I'll bring you in too, if you can help me with this. Is there a certain age, like, as a 61-year-old man, should I not be wearing joggers?
I don't think that you shouldn't be. I think there's a comfort factor here. You're just wearing all black joggers. You're not trying to do anything loud and crazy. You're not wearing them up on your calf showing 6 inches worth of ankle or anything like that.
I kind of got the soccer effect. I'm kind of wearing like the soccer guy.
You do look like a guy that's about to tell me what's about to happen on the pitch.
Okay, I got you. Okay, so I'm okay.
But you're wearing the hell out of those things.
I'm like okay right now. Right?
I think,
you're okay,
yeah.
Man. Okay, right
I
now.
Like this.
All right, I appreciate that. All right, thank you. Appreciate that, Chief, a lot. All right, I watched a player last night that I had not, and I'm like Wolchuk in this draft stuff. You know, there's lists like Vach Lombardi and I do a show every night with the We're Doing All Right podcast. And he gives me players to look at. So like every night we'll talk about, you know, three guys, four guys. But he gave me a name for Wednesday night for a guy named Willie Lampkin, who is he's a guard center at North Carolina. Now, the story on Willie Lampkin is that he was a Florida State championship wrestler.
You can see that when you watch him play.
I like the sound of him already.
Yeah. This guy was like 47-0 as a high school championship wrestler in the state of Florida as a senior. I mean, he was incredible.
Undefeated, never lost.
Never lost. This guy is a five-year starter. He's a five-year starter at North Carolina. We're not talking small school football. We're talking, Bill Belichick coach, team right now. So North Carolina, we're watching him. We're watching back Hampton. You'd love to have the back Hampton from North Carolina. Well, the reason why Hampton was having some success is he's got a guard named Willie Lampkin, 5'10", 275 pounds.
I'm sorry?
5'10", 275 pounds.
And he's a guard, or he's an interior offensive lineman at 5'10"?
This man, guy's Mighty Might is what he is.
This man has
Low
made,
man wins.
This man has made 61 career starts at North Carolina.
Well, so he was at Coastal Carolina a couple of years ago when they were awesome. They had that year where they were like knocking on the door, top 25 team. Then he transferred and he's been starting at North Carolina for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So he's a five-year Carolina guy.
Five-year Carolina guy,
but,
right.
I mean, you can, yeah. I mean, geez, man. The leverage is not a question with him.
No, okay. This guy, he's made 26 starts at left guard. He's made 21 starts at right guard and 14 starts at center. In his career.
Capital V versatility, boys.
Yeah. Okay. I am all my years of scouting and evaluation have never evaluated a 5'10", 275-pound guy.
Okay, I was wondering, would 5'10 be the shortest lineman in NFL history?
I'm going to say that's probably the case. I'm probably going to say that's the case.
I'm going to look this up.
I don't know. I don't. The closest thing I have to this guy weight-wise... And we've seen some guys.
We're going to be skewed because, like, the 1920s, we had tiny guys.
Yeah,
Jack Shapiro, remember him?
Yeah.
1929, 5'1".
Okay, Mark Stepnoski was 6'2".
See, but okay, Stepnoski, but he was
269.
He was 265 is when he played. Mark got, his weight got lower as the season, he got wore down. So
okay,
I was thinking the closest I've seen to this, like a guy like this, what's our, what was our our center from?
John Michael Schmitz.
No. Well, John Michael Schmitz, but our guy from Iowa that's with the Ravens.
Oh, Linderbaum.
Linderbaum. What was his? I was thinking.
Let me see, because Linderbaum was also small, and that's why the Cowboys didn't like him.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I am talking to people about this guy, and I'm just
6'2", 305,
314.
Was he up to 314 now?
When he got drafted, yeah, he was at 6'2", 314.
But I thought he was like at 293 at one time.
I'm
sure he had to bulk it up for combine weigh-ins and whatnot.
This guy looks small, but I just watched him against Duke, and then now I'm watching him against Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
and he's taken on some 300-plus pound dudes.
Watch the Miami game.
He's battling his ass off, and he's not getting overpowered.
No. This guy, I have. I'm going to say this.
Say it.
The way that he plays with leverage, of course, being that short. And the wrestling background, dudes do not get away from this guy.
And his legs never stop.
Yeah.
He's always churning, which you love to see from a running back.
Yeah.
But like, this dude knows how to drive linemen off the field. And you can tell the wrestling. Like, we saw that with Zach Frazier last year, who had an outstanding rookie year with the Steelers.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can tell the wrestlers when you're playing offensive line.
Well, he went to the Senior Bowl, and I saw some clips of him playing like at the Senior Bowl. And I'm like thinking, man, that's a short guy. That's kind of, look, you know, that's.
Yeah, man.
But he's made all these starts. And I mean, this is the problem, Zach. And I'm asking you because you build a board. No offense here, Eric, but Zach builds boards for me. When you get a guy like this that you haven't ever seen,
mm-hmm.
the outlier, how do you grade a player that's this much of an outlier when it comes to his measurables?
Like, naturally. But
because you're watching him play and you're thinking,
trust
like.
Trust the damn tape.
Like, is he going to be better than some of these bigger guards that I've watched?
That's what I'm saying. I've seen some of these 6'5", 332-pound guards not move this well, mm-hmm. not play with this kind of leverage, not stay on blocks at all, not play on the second level.
Yeah, man.
So you think in your own division, Daron Payne, Dexter Lawrence, and Jalen Carter aren't going to be licking their damn chops when they see 5'10", 275-pound whatever the heck his name is.
Willie Lampkin.
Then they got Mighty Mike coming at their way, man. Mighty Mike, Willie Lampkin.
He'll get stuck in the navel of Jalen Carter on the first play of the game. We'll be looking for him playing with 10 for the first half.
I think Eric, I promise you, if you sat down and watched this kid play, you would be like...
Technician?
Oh, yes.
He's a day three player, right? Because of the, like, he's going to end up going day three.
Fifth round?
Honestly, Brian, I'd consider him in the fourth round based on the tape.
Well, we don't have a fourth round pick, okay? This is a bummer because we'd obviously rather have this guy than Mingo.
Well, not necessarily for the Cowboys, right? Yeah. Maybe some other team would take him in the fourth. That's but true. Three fifth rounders?
See, I've watched
maybe
like
you take a flyer on him if you're
have
down.
You watched Jonah Monahan from USC?
Yeah. And I didn't love him.
Not at all. Did you watch Jared Wilson from Georgia?
Haven't seen the Georgia kid.
Okay.
I saw Rutledge, his teammate.
He's a 1-year starter, Jared Wilson. And I think Willie
Lampkin. This kid's better.
I think Willie Lampkin stay. And Jared Wilson is 6'3", 310. And one of the things that I said, one of the things I said about Wilson is that there's times there will be twist stunts where he gets lost in the play. Guys run right by him. There's some inexperience there. Doesn't have the longest arms. So you see rushers break him down. I don't see these rushers break down Willie Lampkin. And so what I'm struggling with right now is where do you put an outlier on your board like this you've never, ever, ever, ever seen an offensive lineman in the NFL with these measurements.
Now, this guy's going to be snapping balls to Aaron Rodgers in the XFL.
No, I mean, I think this guy's got a shot. I do think this is one of the things where sometimes the NFL will outthink itself. It's like Ivan Pace Jr. Goes undrafted.
Yeah.
Was one of the best linebackers in his draft class when you looked at production, sideline to sideline, making tackles, but he was short guy. Yeah. Nobody wanted to take him. And then he ends up now and he's a starter for the Minnesota Vikings and everyone else in the NFL. It's like, why the hell didn't we take Ivan Pace? That might end up being Mighty Mike Willie Lampkin. We're all looking at each other like, we can't take this guy. He's too damn small. And then what happens? He's a starting lineman in the league. And yes, he can pull. He's getting to the second level in a blink here.
Yeah, I talked to a scout buddy of mine in the league from another team. Let me read to you what he said about him.
You texted him like, hey, what do you think about Little Willie?
you're just
Little Willie?
You're just Eric is against anybody that's got size deficiency or is a running back.
I'm just here to have a good time. That's all I'm doing.
I'm just having fun with you. This scout in the league, this is another team. This guy says, I want this guy. Give him a number in the 50s first. Try him at guard and center. If it doesn't work out, make him the next Pat Ricard.
Oh, a fullback.
Ooh. Fullback. He said, this kid's a winner. He will find a way. It's what he says. This kid, in talking to him, he says he actually prefers guard but will play anywhere.
Including fullback. Get him in an I formation with Scataboo behind him. And just start running through the faces of NFL
defenses.
Oh, I
like the tush push with him as my quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. I've never seen a player with this measurements, but I've never seen a player play, and I thought he was going to get just thrown around.
I've seen him lose one rep.
He's throwing people around. He hadn't given up a sack in 3 years.
And even when he starts to get overpowered, he's got such a good anchor.
Recovery. He just sits down on the guy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get overpowered.
This is a 5'10", 275-pound center guard fullback championship wrestler.
Yeah.
All-time stuff.
Dude. And to be frank with you, the other four linemen ain't helping a ton.
No.
And a one-man band?
He's really holding his own.
The Hampton, the running back who we absolutely love, is running the ball behind him. That's where the ball is. I mean, he's running inside behind Willie Lampkin.
Like, he's having to make up for his right tackle a lot.
Okay. This is the issues that you have in scouting sometimes. This is a wild, wild outlier.
And the height is off-putting. I'm not going to say it's not, but the tape don't lie with this kid, man. I mean, Duke, Georgia Tech, Minnesota now. It's carrying over to three. I'm going to have to go home and watch some more of him.
Yeah, when he gets into his block, Eric, it's the guy. I mean, he is stuck on that guy. And you see big guys, like he's underneath them, but he's pushing them. So he understands the leverage aspect of it all.
This is going to be fun to track. Now I'm excited.
Moving his feet. That's the key with it, man. He just keeps moving his feet.
Yep. Well, there you go, man. Willie Lampkin, North Carolina. Fun watch, but man,
really fun.
I've never.
So where do you have him on your board?
I have him in the fifth.
You have him in the fifth.
I'm in the fifth round is where I. But I'm like.
But if he was prototypical size, you're talking about a first, second round guy?
The way he plays with leverage, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's 6'2", he's probably the best guard in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
Willie Lampkin, ladies and gentlemen, Krusty's Corner on a Monday. That was fantastic.
Thank you, man.
Where we headed.
All right, let's do some C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Choose your corner. Would you cut this safety? And what grade did the rookie class get? That's next in the nation.